ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today is May 24th, 2018. And we continue our series on the inspiring life of one of the greatest servitors of the Lord, the diamond of a devotee, Mrs. Ratanlal. This is the 13th episode we are doing on her, and there is so much more. Someone who has served Bhagwan, looking after his physical frame like an earthly mother for more than 40 years. In the previous episode, I shared with you how Swami tested her, how she emerged triumphant, and how Swami put her through the grind that every devotee goes through. Every devotee who shines in his splendor has to go through that process of removing all that in us that is blocking that divine light in us. And the way Swami did it in her life, gradually, slowly, almost at times taking her to the point of giving up. And just when she thought she cannot take it anymore, he comes in and changes everything in a second. And that is how thrilling our ride is with the Lord. And after that, it just becomes joy and joy and more joy. Those who heard the last episode probably would have felt very sorry for Mrs. Ratanlal for what he was going through, you know, the kind of test that Swami put her through. But once the caterpillar acquires wings, oh my God, it's only joy, it's only freedom. But the process of becoming that while being in the cocoon, you know, while struggling inside the cocoon is difficult. But that is the basis, that is the foundation for greater freedom, for exciting times ahead. And so it was for Mrs. Ratanlal. After all that pruning of her ego, the strengthening of her resolve and the clarity of her path, now comes the exhilarating moments. So it was the March of 1980. Swami had declared that there would be no Lingodvam that day. A day before Shivratri, Swami called Mrs. Ratanlal and said, "You prepare curd rice and tamarind rice for 25 people. And as soon as everything is ready, you inform me. I'm going to leave early morning. Don't tell anyone about this." And as she was doing namaskar and leaving Bhagwan's presence, you know, she told Swami, "But it is so strange. We have all come here for Shivratri, to see you on Shivratri. We have come all the way from Bombay. So many people have come. I am here with you only because I wanted to see you. Didn't want to miss Shivratri with you, Swami." And Swami said, "Okay, you also get ready. You sit in the last car." So by 2:30 a.m., she finished all the cooking and then she sent word to Swami. And Swami said, "Okay, let's go." So Swami stopped near Mysore for the breakfast, and then he had his lunch in Mudumalai, and only then she came to know that Swami had decided to go to Ooty. The next morning, which was the Shivratri day, Swami took the group for a picnic, and they went to Doddabetta. It's the highest point in Ooty. And the location there was beautiful, but there were too many people. It was milling with people there. It was a very crowded place. And looking at the crowd, Swami said, "No, we cannot be here." And on the way down, Mrs. Ratanlal saw that Swami's car hesitatingly was turning towards an unpaved road. And she thought probably Swami definitely must have asked Radha Krishna, who was driving the car, to turn left on the road. Even Radha Krishna was reluctant, but Swami said, "No, go." He said, "Swami, how will cars go there? It's no proper road." Swami said, "Doesn't matter. Proceed. Go." It was a narrow road, and slowly it widened into a clearing that was all grass. And now Swami's car halted, and so all the accompanying cars stopped. Everyone disembarked, and Swami asked Mrs. Ratanlal, "Have you brought something for all to eat?" She said, "Yes, Swami." And so the packed food was brought out, and she spread a carpet for Swami, and there were these plastic sheets, for all to sit. And she was making all these arrangements, and then Swami went for a stroll, along with the boys as she was making all the arrangements. And her eyes were on Swami. She saw from a distance of about 25 yards that as Swami was speaking to the boy, suddenly Swami raised his hand, and almost from the air, it was an aerial gesture. She saw that Swami was picking something from empty air. It was like Swami was plucking something from the air. But she saw that the boys didn't realize it much. There was not much of reaction. She was seeing this from, far. And in 5 minutes, Swami returned. And now, Swami gave her a crystal. It was the size of a paperweight. And Swami said, put it in your handbag. And Mrs. Ratanlal always had Swami's handkerchiefs with her. So she took that crystal, wrapped it properly in one of Bhagwan's handkerchiefs, and she kept it in her bag. And Swami then started eating. All the boys had come, and the breakfast session started. And after the food session, Swami again went for a walk. And now Mrs. Ratanlal thought, what is it that Swami has given me? Curiosity got the better of her, and she wanted to take out that crystal and see. And as she saw that, she started exclaiming, oh my God, this is the moon, this is the moon. Because when, on the day of the first moon landing, she was in Geneva and she had seen how the moon looks on TV screens, what the astronauts had sent the pictures. And she started saying, oh my, this is moon, this is the moon. And Swami said, of course, this is the moon, it is the moon. And when she saw, it was a vivid image. There was a vivid image in the crystal. She also saw inside a beautiful, colorful stream. And the colors were changing and they were glimmering. And there were lush green fields on both sides of the stream. And there was green grass spreading onto the meadows. And in the middle of that stream, she saw Swami standing. So she was seeing Swami inside the moon where there is green fields and there is a stream and there is Bhagwan. And that crystal was the size of a large paperweight that we generally use. It's a little bigger than that, bigger than a closed palm. And she was so excited. I said, Swami, but we never saw all this when the astronauts landed. The astronauts didn't see all this. And very lovingly, Swami said, human eyes can only see rocky mountains. Swami said, human eyes can only see rocky mountains. Probably you need the eye of intuition. You need the eyes of the divine. You need the eyes of the wise to see beyond the rocky mountains. I think it's such a beautiful statement even when you look at life. If you see through ordinary eyes, you'll only see rocky mountains everywhere. If only we use the eye of the inner self, probably much more will be revealed to us. Much more we will see the meadows, we will see the streams, and we'll see Swami in the midst of the streams. So she said, Swami, but Swami is here. And she wanted more explanation from Swami. She wanted Swami to elaborate that. And Swami, at that point in time, Mr. Jogarao also was there, close by, and he wanted to ask. And Swami just interrupted Mr. Jogarao and said, Jogarao, I will tell you who I am. And just after this, they all came back, and in the evening again, they were sitting around Bhagwan. And when Swami had plucked that crystal from the sky, all the boys had got excited, but they had not seen that vision, what Mrs. Ratanlal had seen. So Swami asked her to narrate what she had seen inside that moon. And she narrated everything. And even as that was going on, suddenly Mrs. Verma, the principal of the Ooty school, she started asking Swami some questions, and it moved, the discussion moved to spiritual topics, and there were a lot of questions that Mrs. Ratanlal wanted to ask, and she thought, it's better I do it in private. And so the day was coming to an end, and as Swami was going back to his room, suddenly Mr. Jogarao caught hold of Swami's hand and said, Swami, you said in the morning that you will tell us who you are. And Swami turned to Mr. Jogarao and said, keep quiet. And he just went up. It was 10:30 p.m. And then at 10:30, Swami sends word to Mrs. Ratanlal that you pack food for the group, and tomorrow morning, early in the morning, we are going to leave. Just tell me when the food is ready. So she had to make breakfast, lunch, dinner and snacks, afternoon snacks for the entire group. At 9:30 she gets the information. She finishes all the work and some says do it quietly. She finishes the work by 1 a.m. and she sends a message to Swami, and Swami asks her to check if there is anyone on the road. Because, you know, that day was Shivratri day and all the people were hoping that Swami will come out and probably there will be a discourse, probably there will be a Lingodbhavam, you know. All the people were waiting there. And she went out and saw, even though it was 1 a.m., there were 4 cars in that unearthly hour. And, you know, the devotees are still waiting. And Swami said, no, the devotees are waiting, I cannot go out. So Mr. Ratanlal went and convinced the devotees to leave. She said that Swami is not going to come out now. It was too late for darshan. Please go and rest. So only after all the devotees left, then she woke up Mrs. Nanjan, who was, and Mrs. Verma, who were, you know, looking after Bhagwan in Ooty. And she told you, keep the arati ready. And Swami said, okay, now I will come down. You ensure that the road is clear. So Swami comes down at 2:30 a.m. Swami receives the arati and they leave Ooty. 5 a.m. they reach Mudumalai. And now Swami went to his room there, goes to his room for rest. And immediately, you know, Mrs. Ratanlal gets back to work. She's preparing breakfast for Swami. She prepared upma and coffee for Bhagwan. She thought maybe Swami will come out by 7:30. At 9, Swami was again ready to go into the forest. So they were in a sanctuary and Swami was taking Polaroid photographs with each member of the group in that sanctuary. So they are in the Mudumalai forest. And as Swami is taking pictures with each one of the members of the group, Swami asks for Mr. Ratanlal. In fact, one boy, Satish, comes for Mr. Ratanlal, and you know, she was so busy arranging things, so she was occupied, and in fact they came calling for her 3 times, and finally this boy said, Amma, I have to take you, Swami has been asking for you. And she's okay, and you know, she starts going to the group. She was so busy to ensure that everyone is fed in time, that, you know, all the arrangements are done for Swami's travel, that she never had the time to really be with Bhagwan for the sessions. And as Bhagwan would go out with the boy, she would be the one who would work in the background, always in the background. And so the students were taking photographs with Swami. And as that was going on, when Mrs. Ratanlal came there, she noticed that there was a bit of crumpleness in Swami's robe. She saw that, you know, she needs to really clear that fold on Bhagwan's dhoti. So she went near Bhagwan and she stretched her hand to smoothen Bhagwan's robe. And as she stretched her hand, Swami shouted, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. And Swami said it with so much of emphasis, so much of, in fact, anger and annoyance, that she was really taken aback. I mean, Swami would never react in that manner, and she was only trying to, you know, correct Swami's robe. And she was really stunned. And after that, Swami took that undeveloped Polaroid photograph, and Swami then started rubbing the photo face down on his right knee. And as Swami was doing, so the previous second he was angry, and now this second Swami is like a child. Swami is taking that photograph, Swami is rubbing that photograph on his right knee, and Swami is in a musical sort of way, Swami is telling, shall I tell you who I am? Shall I tell you who I am? Shall I tell you who I am? And then he's rubbing the photo onto his knees, and shall I tell you who I am? And then emerges the picture. Swami shows the picture, and it is a picture no one has ever seen before. It's a picture of Lord Dattatreya, but Dattatreya which has Swami's face. Dattatreya is Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. So here there are 4 heads and there are all the 3 faces visible, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, and it's the same face of Swami which is appearing as Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. There is Sankha, there is Chakra, there is Padma, there is also Trishul, there is a Kamandalu. So it is Vishnu, it is Shiva, it is Brahma, 4 heads, Shankha, Chakra, Padma, it is Trishula, there is the snake, there is a cow, and there is a dog close by, and all are in ochre robes. Oh my God, what a picture, what a revelation of who Swami is. And this entire scene inside a huge om, a big om. And Swami showed that image of Dattatreya to the group. And Then Swami told Ratnalal, you come now and take picture. And after that, Bhagwan gave picture with to Ratnalal. She standing next to him. And then Swami said, see, at that point in time, if you had touched me, you would be gone. Swami said, because at that point in time, Swami was that Dattatreya form. Swami said, you would have probably burned to ashes if you had touched me at that point. That's why I reprimanded you. And then Swami gave that image to her. Keep it in your purse, Swami said. No wonder Swami was calling her repeatedly to come for the photo session and finally gave that picture to her. What a moment, a timeless moment. Swami wanted her to be one of the key recipients of that precious blessing. How much merit one should have earned for this. After the test, there always comes the beautiful taste of His love. And the Lord knows how to make it special for each one of us. Because He is the Creator, He is the Preserver, He is the one who is constantly purifying us. He is that Dattatreya.
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva.
So this happened in the March of 1980, and now in the same year, Swami doubled, or I should say doubled manifoldly many times over, the joy of Mrs. Ratnalal when Swami, listening to her prayer, agreed to visit Kashmir. In fact, right from 1970, Mrs. Ratnalal and Mr. Sohanlal, her brother-in-law, they used to always discuss and they used to think, let's take Swami to Kashmir. Let's somehow take Swami to Kashmir. And once they mentioned it to Swami also, and Swami said, you go. No, Swami, we want you to come to Kashmir, Swami, please. And so they were making these prayers all through 75, all through 79. In fact, Swami had visited Kashmir only once, 7 years after the inauguration of Prashant Nilayam in 1950. That was Swami's first visit to North India. Swami went to Srinagar. It was just a brief 2-day trip. Next year, of course, Swami went to Kanyakumari. And, of course, people who know about the story of Kanyakumari know how that breathtaking scene happened of the sea offering her salutations to Bhagwan by enigmatically encircling his feet with a garland of pearls. In 1961, Swami went to Badrinath. In 1970, Swami traveled to Goa. I shared about the Goa trip on a previous episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, in this series when we are talking about Mrs. Ratanlal's life and her devotion to Bhagwan. In 1973, Swami went to Shivam, his abode in Hyderabad, to inaugurate that building. Swami went in 1973 also to Mumbai, Jaipur, Rajkot. We have talked about this. He went to Shimla. But Swami had not been to Kashmir once again. And now Mrs. Ratanlal and Mr. Sohanlal, they were thinking how to bring Swami to Kashmir. So in 1979, again, you know, when they were praying to Swami, Swami, please, let's go to Kashmir. And then Mrs. Ratanlal told Mr. Sohanlal, you know, let's first make all the arrangements before we invite Swami. Let's first ensure that everything is in place. So she tells him that why don't you go to Srinagar and look for government houses or look for places where we can accommodate Bhagwan. And Srinagar was the summer capital of the state of Jammu and Kashmir. So they tried to approach the government guest houses, but they were not very adequate. There has to be ample space for people to gather, for Bhagwan to give darshan, and the facilities there were not so good. And she thought, then why don't we approach the army? And because the army had 2 or 3 private houses, and she knew the people who were occupying those houses, and she thought that if we can get those houses, then, you know, we can make our arrangements for Bhagwan. And so when Sohanlal went to Srinagar, there he met General Malhotra, who was the army commander of that region, and he was a devotee of Bhagwan. In fact, Swami had blessed the general and his wife Prem Malhotra way back in 1973 when Bhagwan was on a visit to Ooty. At that time, the general was the commandant of the Staff College Wellington, which is near Ooty, and the Malhotras had a spacious bungalow in Srinagar known as the temporary abode of the army commander. So there was enough space outside. It was ideal for Bhagwan to grant darshan, while in the inside could accommodate a group of 25 to 30 people. So they felt that was a perfect place to serve as Bhagwan's residence. And when they approached the Malhotras, they said, yes, all of this place is available for Bhagwan's visit. You tell us when he's coming. And so jubilantly, Mr. Sohanlal returned to Vrindavan, and when he mentioned to Swami, Swami said, is it the same General Malhotra whose wife attended the summer course? You know, summer course started in 1972. Perhaps his wife was part of it in 1972 or 73. And now you have the omniscient Lord revealing a little of his infinite love, how all the pieces are actually put in place by him. So on June 1st, 1980, they started for this beautiful trip. It was the first stop was in Delhi, where Swami stayed for 2 days, and then Swami went to Chandigarh. From Chandigarh, they went by car to Jammu. And while Swami prepared the boys for their visit to Srinagar, Mrs. Ratanlal had asked Mr. Rajesh Khanna and Mrs. Asa Khanna from Delhi to go to Srinagar much in advance, 3 weeks before in fact, and they were working round the clock with the Malhotras to welcome Bhagwan in Srinagar. In fact, they where they carried everything, groceries, beddings, utensils, carpets, and it was the peak of summer. They had little support from the sevadals, but they were working to clean all the groceries. They washed, dried, and packed them in different packets and labeled them nicely. This went on for days. They did the curtains, they did the bed covers of Bhagwan's room. In fact, the whole house was completely set up with guidance of Mrs. Ratnalal. All these preparations were happening in the background as Bhagwan was bringing his boys to Srinagar. On June 3rd, 2018, there was a public meeting. On the way to Srinagar, they had stopped at Udhampur in Jammu, and the entire town had gathered on the sprawling lawns of the Army Gymkhana, and there was the stir of excitement as Bhagwan arrived. The locals beheld the Lord for the first time. Open-air auditorium, aesthetic stage settings, green mountains, soothing ethereal vibrations. The meeting commenced. General Mahadev, Lieutenant General S.P. Malhotra spoke first, and then Bhagwan spoke about the higher spiritual truths, but then he came to the virtues of patience, truth and forbearance, because it was an audience largely of defense personnel, and Swami was goading them how they should perform their duty in a spirit of dedication to the motherland. Later on, Swami sang a few bhajans. The audience went into raptures. The jawans, the majors, the colonels, they broke the barriers of shyness. They clapped their hands. They started singing in joy. Wow, the valley resonated with the glory of the Lord. And Swami was so happy about that one day halt in Udhampur, that reminiscing that day, 23 years later in 2003, you know, when General Malhotra was with Bhagwan in an interview room, Swami said, Udhampur was very nice, was very clean, very neat. I was very happy. So this was only the beginning. This is on the way to the actual scene of all magical miracles, Srinagar. On June 4th, 7 a.m., Swami proceeded to Srinagar with General Malhotra beside him and Colonel Berry steering the wheel. The students followed behind in an air-conditioned bus. There was a brief halt at Patni Top, a tourist hill station, for tea and snacks, and then Swami proceeded on the national highway towards Srinagar. Though Swami was in the car, the loving mother that he is, you know, his constant thought and attention was on the bus behind. And after a while, Swami could not contain himself. You know, he was constantly inquiring with General Malhotra about the bus, and he asked them to stop the car, and he did something very beautiful, which sometimes he used to do when the boys went to Kodaikanal. He alighted from his car and sweetly climbed into the bus, and the bus was energized, and Swami was himself singing all the while inside the bus. It was so beautiful. The whole situation had now reversed, because now the car was following Swami's bus, and he was the first to spot the snow-capped mountains. You know, as the boys would look at Swami, Swami would ask them to look outside, and Swami would show them, see the mountains, see the flowing streams, see the Jhelum River, which was, you know, swiftly and forcefully, almost parallelly flowing to the road. The road that was lined by blue and silver pines, deodar, maple, oak trees, walnut trees. It was a symphony of blue and green. And for the boys, wow, it was a treasure. Probably whoever has gone, you know, it's a treasure they preserve in the inner recesses of their heart. And so they were traveling to the Himalayas. You know, it's almost like going to the Himalayas with Shiva himself, going to Kailash with Shiva. And as the Lord, even as the Lord, you know, was lost in those luxuriant and authentic versions of his workmanship, Swami always never lost an opportunity to drive home important lessons. And what happened was, as the bus approached Verinag, the picturesque little hamlet where the journey was to break for lunch, there were hundreds of Kashmiris who, you know, who were waiting there with bunches of roses in their hands. And as the party entered this beautiful village, you know, all the simple folk, in excitement, they threw these hundreds and thousands of roses onto Swami's car in reverence, in joy, in exhilaration. You know, they couldn't see if Swami was inside the car. They saw it was Swami's car, and they're throwing their roses. And now Swami, who is in the bus, is telling the boys, see, because of my company, the car is receiving so much of adoration. I am with you now and no one respects me. But you know, that is what the Lord does to us every moment. He's trying to awaken us to our reality, awaken us to where our priorities should be, what the company of the Lord can make us. Even a snake becomes an object of worship if it is with Shiva. Even a rat is treated like a god when it is with Ganesha. When we live more and more with God in our minds, we too become God-like. We too become sacred. We too become holy. We too become beautiful. And the grounds of Prasad Villa, the residence of General Malhotra, which had become the Lord's temporary abode, was overcrowded overnight. Thousands, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Sikhs, a few foreigners too, they gathered there to have the Prasad of Bhagwan's darshan, sparshan and sambhashan. And you know, the pathway was packed with people, and Bhagwan moved among them, healed the sick, comforted the distressed. He was soothing the ones who were crying, embossing his emblem of divinity on every heart. And Mrs. Ratan Lal says, you know, some days after breakfast, Swami would just walk into the garden there in that house, and Swami would be so much in leisure. You know, he would play with the flowers and the trees. He would pluck a berry here. He would touch a flower there. He would just be himself, so carefree, so happy. And later he would call all the boys, and they would all sit there in the garden in a nice circle, and he would just sing in the midst of the symphony of the breeze. And she says how every morning General Malhotra would come and would ask Swami what should be the day's program. And one day it would be a visit to a hill station or a mountain or a garden or a guest house or a resort or a river. And Swami would love just walking in that garden, and General Malhotra would walk behind some days. But Swami would just love to be on his own. He would walk, he would pluck berries, he would taste mulberries. In fact, it was such a joy, Mr. Ratan Lal says, to just watch Swami in Kashmir. He was enjoying that trip. It was so evident. Even when you went for picnics, you know, when you went, it was actually spring in Kashmir, and on your walks you could see cherries hanging from the trees. And Swami, you know, there was one fruit called Shatut, and Swami apparently said, "What is this fruit? What is this fruit?" And Mr. Ratan Lal said, "Swami, it's a kind of a fruit." And Swami said, "No, it looks like a caterpillar. You know, it was a spindly, greenish caterpillar kind of looking fruit." And so Mrs. Ratan Lal picked it from the tree, plucked it, and he offered it to Bhagwan. He said, "Swami, you can try it. It's very nice." And so Swami took it from her, and Swami ate it. And Swami said, "Yeah, it is nice. It is good." And then imagine, Swami himself plucked 5 or 6 of more of that shatut, and Swami was relishing those moments of being one with the trees, with the flowers, in the garden, midst of the grass. That is how casual Swami was during that trip. Imagine the joy that was overflowing in Mrs. Ratan Lal's heart, seeing Swami so relaxed, seeing Swami enjoying, seeing Swami, you know, imagine a mother, you know, who has seen her son all the time working, all the time surrounded with people, all the time busy with guests, all the time planning, executing, never having a moment for himself, never thinking about his food, never thinking about his rest, never having even a moment to think about what would perhaps make him happy. He was all the time so busy only making others happy. And a mother, how much you would wish that the son takes a break and thinks about himself, breathes a fresh air, you know, walks carefree, eats what he likes, you know, does whatever appeals to his heart. This is what was happening. This is the joy that was erupting in Mrs. Ratan Lal's heart as she saw Swami relaxing, letting his hair down, you know, Swami himself plucking a fruit and eating, and Swami would eat whatever she cooked. Swami would ask, you know, Swami not having any qualms about what he's eating, where he is. He's just happy just to be. And Swami is asking her, "You're visiting new places with the Lord." Swami is willing to try new food. Swami is willing. He's singing all the time. Imagine the joy of a mother who's looking after the Lord. This is what was happening in the heart of Mrs. Ratnalal. Her heart was exploding with joy, looking at the way Bhagwan was. And on June 6, 1980, they went to Dachigaon. It was a most charming dale of Kashmir, Dachigaon, surrounded on all sides by emerald green grass, decorated with flowers growing everywhere, and you see elegant trees, and you have myriad varieties of colorful birds. Dachigaon is a sylvan resort of rare beauty. Once upon a time, it was the private entertainment estate of the King of Kashmir, Maharaj Hari Singh, and after Kashmir became a part of independent India, the chief minister of the state controlled that area, and General Malhotra had obtained special permission from the chief minister, and he in fact wanted Swami to stay there for 4 or 5 days. Swami said, no, I will just visit, I'm not going to stay there. So on the morning of June 6th, after the morning darshan, Swami along with a few students proceeded towards this slice of unsullied nature that was Dachigaon, 30 kilometers from Srinagar, and they passed through 20 kilometers of apple orchards, and once they reached their special guest house, it was an awesome scene because you could see roses of all hues and all colors, all sizes and all shades, and there was a tiny creek that flowed down just beside the building that had this beautiful roses all around. And in fact, everyone who went there, they used to say later on when they came back that you couldn't be a better place on earth if nature enchanted you. Even the walls of the rooms inside were laid with a special bark, just like it was done on the outside. But that special how did not excite Swami. Swami relished being outside. You know, he didn't want to be inside. And a few minutes passed and Swami sat on a small chair placed outside a china tree. In fact, this special tree apparently changed the colors of its leaves every 5 times in a year. You know, every season it will change the colors. So they were sitting surrounding Bhagwan in that serene setting, and Swami started speaking very casually to a few of them, and suddenly, as if struck by an idea, Swami asked General Malhotra, is there any sand here? And he said, yes, Swami, there is a small creek nearby. There's a little sand on its bank, but not much. Swami said, okay, that's enough. Let's go. You know, I used to do wonders on the sands of Chitravati. I will show you how. Let's go there. Swami was telling all this, you know, with that childlike excitement, and they reach that spot, and Swami sits cross-legged on the sand like a small child. He starts playing with the sand, and as the group is watching excitedly, what is happening, what is the Lord making out of the sand? And Swami takes the sand, he makes the sand even, he makes it a mound, and he pours more sand and makes it flat again. Then he draws a small figure on it, then he draws a sketch on it with a tiny finger, and then he puts more sand, and again he plasters that sand, and again he dips his finger into that minuscule mold which he had created. And as his dips his fingers into that, suddenly out comes a golden plate with beautiful, exquisite images of Lord Badrinath and Goddess Lakshmi, golden, resplendent, standing there on Bhagwan's shining hand. In 1961, Swami himself had gone to Badrinath, but in this trip, in 1980, Swami brought Badrinath to them. There were wet sand still sticking onto those images of Badrinath and Goddess Lakshmi. Swami shook it mildly so that the sand fell off, and Swami said, pass it around. Everyone watched with open mouths and big eyes. They adored, touched and worshipped that fresh creation. And this was not all. A few more blissful moments passed on the sands, and then Swami asked, anyone has a pen? And someone gave a pen to Bhagwan, and Swami took it in his hands and now started using this pen as a stylus. And you know, his artwork continued on the sand, and a round motion, a touch here, a finish there, and now his empty hands dug again into that sketch that he had inked on the sand, And everyone is waiting. What is it? The cameras are ready. Cranes are, you know, they're craning their necks and their hearts are stopping to beat. They want to see what is coming out now with wide-eyed expectation. And here comes out of the sand now a beautiful 2-inch crystal linga, bigger than a duck's egg, white, round, resplendent, but shining. Swami held it up against the sun. And what a sight it was. It was brilliant, unspeakable delight. And the revelation that came next, Swami said, this is Amarnath Lingam. This is the true one installed by Adi Shankaracharya. What you see on the outside in Amarnath is only ice. And Swami said, for you to go to Amarnath, you have to go 20 kilometers on snow. How will you go? That is why I brought Amarnath for you, for your sake. How much more blessed can that trip be? Every day of this trip of Bhagwan to Kashmir in 1980 was a day of beauty. And imagine how contented, how ecstatic Mrs. Ratanlal was. She herself had gone to Amarnath 3 times before, and she knows how difficult it is. And after Swami creates such exquisite shrines of the Lord, bringing the Lord's right onto their sight. And Swami gives both of them, the Linga and the Badrinarayan and Lakshminarayan statues. Swami gives it to Mrs. Ratanlal and says, you keep it. You keep it, I will tell you. When we go to Delhi, I will tell you. And Swami personally gives it to Mrs. Ratanlal. And when Swami came back to Delhi, Swami installed that lingam. Swami told Mr. Sohanlal, you don't know how to do puja in the morning. This is how you should do puja. And pour water on the lingam and drink that water every morning. And till Mrs. Ratanlal was on earth, he used to do that puja and he used to partake that prasadam, you know. They were in the prasad villa and everyone was only receiving beautiful prasadams. But the prasadam of joy that Mrs. Ratanlal was receiving, you know, that she was experiencing seeing Swami in that setting, in that mood, in that ambience, in that jovial manner, you know, that is something that she cherishes. You know, the cup of her heart, as I'm saying, was overflowing with ecstasy. It is like, it is such a beautiful elaboration of, you know, if you do God's work, you know, God will bring everything to you. You know, if you do His work, before this trip started, in the previous episode, I was telling you how there were times when the test sort of had become so severe that Mrs. Ratanlal thought that probably she will leave and everything and go away to the Himalayas. And now Swami is bringing the jewels of the Himalayas to her. At that time, Swami told her, where will you go? You are doing His work. What do you want? What else do you want? This is what Swami had told her. If you do His work, this is what Bhagwan is conveying. If you do His work, He will fill you and fulfill you with joys that you have never ever imagined. Even you put all your efforts, you will never be able to experience and get that. It would be impossible for you to get that kind of a bliss that Bhagwan can give it in a second. But that happens provided our focus is on Him, provided our goal is only Him, provided our hands are busy always doing His work, provided our hearts can think nothing but Him. He gives the strength to do, and then He again rewards us copiously with seemingly what we have achieved. That is the beauty. So this is what was happening in the heart of Mrs. Ratanlal. On June 7th, Swami went to Gulmarg again one of the most splendid resorts of India. Gul means flower, and Gulmarg means a valley of flowers. Swami spent some time lost in the maze of colors, and then Mr. Sohanlal suggested to Swami to visit Kilanmarg, which is located nearby on a higher altitude, which is known for the beauty and majesty of its snow-covered peaks. But for this, Swami had to take the ropeway, and Swami and the group went to the rope station, but the Swami could not come out of his car. People were thronging to his presence. It was the same scene everywhere. When Swami went to the garden, in one of the gardens, Swami said, "I will not come, because if I go, people will come and they will destroy the garden." And that is what exactly happened. All the students told, "No, Swami, you have to come, you have to come." Swami went, and the moment Swami went, the number of people that stormed into that garden, Swami just retreated. The same thing happened here. Swami didn't go on the ropeway, but Swami sent the boys went there, and boys were on that heavenly rope. They were stunned with the beauty, the snowy beauty, the snow-smeared trees, and they were seeing miles and miles of clear snow. They got tempted to play there. They were having an ice game, and you know, they were lost there, they lost track of time, and it was time for lunch, but they had forgotten everything. But Swami had not forgotten them. Swami was so concerned, but the boys had not come back. And Swami, back in the room, in Prasad Villa, Swami was asking everyone, where are the boys, why have they not come? And they said, "Swami, they are coming, but boys were lost there, and in those days we didn't have those means of communication that we have now." And Colonel Berry recalls and says, "Swami was like a mother hen, pacing up and down, watching, waiting, looking out, when will the boys come? Swami did not have his lunch too," Mrs. Ratanlal recalls. "He was all the time waiting. And when the boys returned, and when they had food, and you know, then Swami went to them, and Swami said, 'I don't want to scold you, I don't want to reprimand you, because there are so many guests, but you should be mindful of time. You can't be so careless about time.' But you know, that is Swami. When he takes you, his all attention is on you. His thoughts are always centered on you. Just like a mother might be doing million things, but her thoughts are centered on the child. It is the same with Bhagavan. When he has taken with you, you know, his thoughts are always centered on us. Once we tell that, 'Swami, we are yours,' he's constantly worried about us. And in fact, on June 8th, when Sheikh Abdullah and his wife came, the chief minister, Swami said, 'These are my students. All of them are now teachers.' The governor of Jammu and Kashmir, Mr. and Mrs. Jha, also came seeking Bhagwan's blessing. The deputy chief minister came, and there were 20 cabinet ministers. So all of them, Swami was constantly busy, you know. Once people know that he's there, he's again, it is a tough schedule for the Lord. And on June 9th, Swami was in Pahalgam, which is a pristine hill station untouched by the ravages of progress. And it is known as the village of shepherds. It was abounding with pastures and lakes and tiny rivers and huge meadows. And that evening everyone had another thrilling experience. Swami took everyone for a walk on the banks of the Lidar River, and soon they entered an apple orchard, and Swami pointed out the apple bunches hanging on the branches, and Swami says, "No, this is not ripe. This has to attain a little more color." You know, Swami is evaluating all the apple bunches. And then at a picturesque location, Swami decided to pose for an individual picture with all the members of the group. And after everyone's heart was filled with that precious moment, then Swami moved further, and then there was a small patch of sand, and Swami now again settled out on the sand, just like it was in Dachigaum. And now all the hearts jumped with anticipation and excitement. What now? What wonder we will see now? And Swami started discussing about spirituality. Soon the topic turned towards Shankaracharya, and Swami said, "You know, Shankaracharya had installed a linga of great spiritual vibration at Chidambaram." And Swami said, "Now I will show you the exact replica of the Chidambaram Linga." And a bewitching smile on his face, enthusiasm on his lips, like a school kid. And Swami flattened the sand in front of him. He drew a circle, filled it with more sand, and again a small art. And his hands go in, and out comes with all excited. Swami says, It has come. See, and on the silvery sands appeared a 3-inch round, black, glittering, oval-shaped linga. Swami picked it up, wiped that wet sand sticking onto it with his white handkerchief and lovingly showed it to everyone around. And as everyone was basking on the magic of that moment, you know, a beautiful smile blossomed and Bhagwan's lips, and Swami said, "This is all tamasha. This is all fun." Swami said, "You know, this is nothing. What is a little bit of a creation for the Creator? Everything is a play. The creation is his play." As Swami used to say, "Meeku ascharyam naaku sahajam." It's all common things for me. For you, it is a surprise. This is how Bhagwan spent that time in Srinagar, in Kashmir. 10 such beautiful days. After nearly spending a week in Kashmir, Swami came back to Delhi and, you know, at that point in time, in fact, one day, Swami called Colonel Berry and Swami said, "Colonel Berry used to drive Swami's car. You look for a nice location which has sand. We will go there and I will ask every member of the army to put his hand into the sand and each one can then pull out whatever they desired." You know, it reminds us of the miracles that Swami used to do on the banks of Chitravati, in the tamarind tree, that kind of miracles. But somehow, unfortunately, at that point in time, Mr. Sohan Lal fell ill and Swami did not find him during the dinner session, and Swami inquired about him and Swami immediately said, "Oh, he's not well." And Swami asked Colonel Berry to bring a glass of water. Swami immediately materialized 2 tablets and Swami said, "Give it to Sohan Lal. Tomorrow morning he will come dancing to the breakfast table." And that's what happened. Sohan Lal was fine. He was promptly there for breakfast the next day morning, but Swami was still concerned about Mr. Sohan Lal's health, and after that Swami never agreed for any major outing. In fact, Swami asked him to take rest and Swami would go near his bed very often and Swami would say, "You are working so much, you're worrying too much about, you know, everybody else's comforts and needs. You're not bothering about your health." And Mr. Sohan Lal would say, "No, Swami, I'm fine." And Swami said, "No, you have to take rest. You take rest for one full day." And Swami created an akshapatra, you know, inexhaustible container of vibhuti, and Swami gave it to him. And before Swami retired to his room in the night that day, Swami went to him one more time and Sohan Lal would always say, "No, Swami, it is my fortune. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more." And when the boys went to meet him also, he would simply, you know, brush aside about talking about his condition. He would say, "No, it's just the body. It's just getting old. Don't worry about me." He was so happy that Swami had made that trip to Kashmir and he wanted to work overtime and see that, you know, everything is in place, that Swami really does have a time that he would cherish, you know, and that is how it was. He was working, the people who were working behind the scenes was Mr. Sohan Lal and Mrs. Ratan Lal, you know, while the boys put on weight, enjoying with Bhagwan, but Mrs. Ratan Lal, she says, you know, she really lost weight because she used to be up every day at 3 o'clock. She had taken 2 lorries full of cereals and everything. Only vegetables and fruit she used to get from the bazaar there in Srinagar. She had taken 14 servants, her staff, 2 cooks, even stones for grinders, because in the 80s you didn't have mixies. So there's a big stone for idli, another big stone, you know, to make this idli and dosa batter. She had taken these big stones and she would himself go into the market to pick up the fruits and vegetables. The people in Srinagar knew her, you know, and so she would tell them, "Please select the best vegetables, select the best fruits. I will send my person. Please give him whatever best produce that you have got to the market today." And they had packed all the groceries in different tins and labeled them and how to pack them, you know, all that work, ensuring that everyone else's stay is comfortable, that there is no hitch when it comes to food, when it comes to accommodation, when it comes to relaxation. Mr. Sohan Lal also had taken his manager with him. So this is what was going on constantly in Mrs. Ratan Lal's and Mr. Sohan Lal's mind, to ensure that Swami and everyone with Swami, they have a great time. In fact, one day Mr. Ratan Lal called one man who used to sell shawls there, you know, a simple hawker. And she called her and told, you show Swami all the beautiful things that you have. And that person came inside and Swami saw all the shawls and, you know. And so like this, different people had their special moments with Bhagwan. And everywhere Bhagwan went, there used to be this big army truck which would be left for Mrs. Ratanlal, because she would make the food ready, she would keep the carpets, the cushions, the belongings. So there would be two army people to help her. And after Swami leaves, you know, Swami would leave 1 hour early. After that she would leave, because Swami would take a little while to reach any place, because she would stop for darshans and he would be showing different places to the boys, you know, sightseeing. He would be the guide for all, tourist guide for all the boys. And by that time Mrs. Ratanlal would reach and he would arrange the table, he would arrange everything, he would arrange the buffet for the boys, he would keep the tables ready, Swami's tiffin carrier ready, Swami's plate ready, and he would ensure that the tablecloth, the utensils, everything is proper. Swami's room is ready, and then Swami would tell, you serve the boys first, you know, the boys should be happy. And Swami would constantly be singing, Swami would constantly be talking, and he would talk only generally about spiritual topics. And Mr. Sohanlal loved politics, so Swami would many times even talk about politics to Mr. Sohanlal. It was that Swami, when he had no barriers. It was Swami with absolutely no reservation. It was a Swami who just wanted to be. As Swami says, you know, when I am with men, I am a man. When I am with women, I am a woman. When I am with children, I am like a child. It was like when Swami was in nature, he was his real self. He was that beautiful self that he is. And everyone was, it was a scene, it was an ambience of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. You are in the most beautiful space on earth, most pristine nature. Shiva is there in nature, which is so beautiful, which is so Sundaram. And you had Satyam in the midst of Sundaram. And everyone was filled with that touch, indelible touch of auspiciousness, Shivam. That is what this trip was. He would be so human and suddenly so divine. So human, talking about everything, talking about breakfast, talking about rope rides, talking about flowers, fruits and trees, and suddenly he would create something so enigmatic, so out of the world. Mr. Ratanlal, whenever she would recall about this trip, she would say, I have never seen Swami like this ever before again in my life, the way Swami was with all of us in Kashmir. It was, in fact, Swami even mentioned it, I have come to my place, this Kailash. It was almost like Swami was in Kailash. He was so relaxed, so free. Mr. Ratanlal used to always recall and say that Swami would just sit in the chair in the evenings, you know, and the boys would sit around him and Swami would just talk very nicely. He would have breakfast very nicely. For a mother, seeing Swami eat well was such a joy. He would have his lunch very nicely, have his afternoon tiffin very nicely, have his dinner very nicely, talk to the people and talk about spirituality, answer any question, anyone could ask anything. This is what the trip to Kashmir was. And the instrument for this was Mrs. Ratanlal. You know, if you have heard about the previous episodes, and I told you how Swami prepared her all these, we have done 12 episodes in some ways, you know, these 12 episodes were preparation. You know, Swami was chiseling her soul and finally filled it with so much joy that, you know, till her last, she always could live on the joy that Swami granted her for that week in Kashmir. That was something that filled her with eternal springs of inspiration as she went on to do more and more work for the Lord. One pure soul can wipe away the sadness of hundreds. This is the beauty our character acquires once we dedicate ourselves to the Lord with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, all our soul, one-pointedness, with our everything. That is something We learn from Mrs. Ratnalal's life. She saw the best of creation with the source of creation. Because you dedicated yourself to the source. Once you dedicate yourself to the Creator, then creation is just celebration for you. That is what the trip to Kashmir in 1980 of Bhagwan revealed to Mrs. Ratnalal and through her to all of us. In fact, there are such powerful lessons, you know, as our journey progresses. From 1980, again, you see the path that our spiritual journey takes. The tests happen, the ecstasies happen, then maturity happens. But before that maturity happens, some more pruning happens, some more understanding happens, some more training of the soul happens. And everything is so beautifully orchestrated by the Lord. We'll move on, we will discover more of these layers of the devotion that Mrs. Ratnalal had for Bhagwan as we continue in this series, Mrs. Ratnalal, a diamond of a devotee, in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Dear listeners, it's really a joy offering this program to you. If you have any comments, please feel free to share. If you know anything that we don't know, please, and that can be shared with the entire world, please feel free. If you have any pictures, if you have any audios, if you have anything that would be of value, that would give joy to all of us who are in this beautiful satsang, please feel free to write to us. You can send your mails to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to bishu@radiosai.org. bishu@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us on this lovely Thursday, where we talked about the Tatraya, we talked about the one who is Mahadeva, the source of everything. Thank you so much. Saram.
सूरज तुमने बनाए दरिया सागर तुमने बनाए नदिया सागर तुमने बनाए बनाए ब्रह्मांड त्रिपुरेश्वर बाबा चांदर सूरज तुमने बनाए नदिया सागर तुमने बनाए नदिया सागर तुमने बनाए अयोध्या नगरी तुमने बनाई द्वारका नगरी तुमने बसाई बना